Okay, sorry about that as well. So it's been a little while, which I guess is why I made some mistakes in terms of how to dial in. But we'll, Be'ezus Hashem, look together at some ideas when it comes to Parshas Lech Lecha. So the beginning of the Parsha tells us, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Hashem comes to Avram and says, Lech Lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetecha, and you should leave your place, you're going to have to leave your land. And then it says, Vayelech Avram kasher diberei lav Hashem, that Avram went as Hashem had commanded. So Rashi tells us that Lech Lecha, you should go lahanasecha for your benefit, l'tovascha, to be good for you. Only in Eretz Canaan, only in Eretz Yisrael will you become a great nation. But if you remain where you are right now in your homeland, you're not going to merit having children. So we know that this is one of the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. So if you take a step back for a moment and think about it, really, why was it such a terrible test? If Hashem is telling Avraham, if Avraham believes in Hashem, and Hashem is telling Avram, right here, you're not going to be able to have children. But I promise you that if you leave this land, you go to Eretz Canaan, there I will give you children. There I will help you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising him that that's where he's going to thrive. That's where things are going to be better. So of course he's going to go. Why wouldn't he go? Anybody would go if he has a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that things are going to be better. Why would anybody not go and take advantage of this opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him? And the second question is the change in language. We know that in general, Rashi often tells us that Vayomer, the Lashon of Amira, is Lashon Raka, that's a softer tone, while Dibor is a harsher tone. And this part of the parasha, the Torah begins with Vayomer, the Lashon of Amira, a softer one, and then it says, Vayelech Avram Kasher Diberi Lav Hashem, that Avram went as Hashem was Medaber, as he spoke to him in a harsh way. So the Sfas Emes suggests that there is one answer to both of these questions. And he suggests that it all speaks to the greatness of Avraham Avinu. That the Avraham Avinu, the way in which he went, and perhaps this is why he really rose to the occasion, even for it to be considered to be a Nisayon, is that the way he rose to the occasion was that the reason that Avraham Avinu went had nothing to do with the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him. Yes, God promised it to him, and things would be better, and maybe that should have enticed him, but he didn't need that enticement. He didn't need the promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're going to be wealthy, and you're going to have children, and you're going to be successful, and your name is going to be great. It wasn't that. It was that Avram in his tzidkus only listened kasher diberi lav Hashem, because God told him to go. God told him to go. That's enough of a reason. I don't need to make other cheshbonos. I don't need that God promises me anything. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And that's why he did it. And if that's true, so then he suggests when God told it to him, it was an amira. It was a soft language, because God accompany it with the promises of things getting better. But Avraham, how did he respond to it? As if it was a harsher command, as if it was Dibor, as if there was no other benefits that were going to come to him. That was how Avraham Avinu rose to the occasion. And that was the greatness of Avraham Avinu, that he didn't need, it wasn't in the end, the reason that he came had nothing to do with the fact that Hashem promised and the things are going to be better, but rather simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it. And whatever the Ratzon of Hashem is, that is what he will do. And that perhaps brings us to the second idea, which is brought down by Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus in his Sefer tries to explain what does it mean. Chazal tells us that Avos hein hamarkava, that the Avos are like the chariot. What does it mean that the Avos are a chariot? Sounds very nice. But what does it mean, Avos hein hamarkava, that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov somehow are like the chariot? And he suggests as follows. He says, if the chariot was able to talk, and you would ask the chariot, which is carrying the prince, the king, and you would be able to ask the chariot, where are you going? The answer would be, I don't have a destination in mind. My only job is to give a ride and to help the tsar, to help the king, to help the prince. When he says to go, when he points me to go right, then I go right. When he points me to go left, then I go left. It has nothing to do with where I want to go or what my goal. My entire being as a chariot is in order to guide, or in order to not to guide, but in order to go where I am guided by the one who's riding me, by the one who I'm here to serve. So the chariot on its own is never traveling to a specific location, to a specific city or something like that. Its only purpose is to do the ratzon of the person who is guiding it. And that is the idea of the avos being like the Merkava. That Avram Avinu and the other avos as well, their whole existence was simply to do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't where do I want to go. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me, leave this land and go there. That's where I go. My whole purpose in being here is simply to facilitate whatever the ratzon of Hashem is. If the ratzon of Hashem is, then I'm going to go somewhere else. So that's where I'm going to go, because that's HaAvos Hein Hein Amarkava. I'm not in it for myself. I'm in it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if God has given me the instructions of how I should serve Him, then my job is to follow through with it and to go where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to go. And that was what the Eretz Asher Areka tells Avram, go to the land that I'm going to show you. Where is that land? It doesn't matter to Avram Avinu right now where that land is. All that matters is what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. HaAvos Hein Hein HaMerkava. The Torah tells us about the episode when Avram goes down to Mitzrayim with his wife, with Sarah, and he tells her that I'm going to say Achusi, Imina Achusi, I'll say that you're my sister. That everything should be okay, and we should both be able to survive. But what happens? Paro takes Sarah for himself. And Hashem brings an affliction, punishment to Paro. Al devar Sarai Eshes Avram, about the words of Sarai Eshes Avram. Kliyakar asks, we didn't know until now that Sarai was Eshes Avram. Why do we have to say that Sarai was Eshes Avram? Al devar Sarai, because of Sarai, we already introduced her as the wife of Avram. And even more fundamentally, he says, what did Paro do that was wrong? If Paro was told that she is his sister, what's wrong with him taking this beautiful woman, and he's the king, and him taking her for himself? If in fact she's not married, she's not a married woman. She's simply his sister. So why was he being punished? So he suggests as follows. He's saying near the Farish that even though in front of everybody else, that when it came to the general presentation of how Sarai would have to present herself, she listened to Avram Avinu and she said, Achosoani, I am his sister. Mikomakom leparo higido haemes. The Kriyakar suggests that Sarai revealed the truth to Paro and said, I really am the wife of Avraham. Why did she do that? She would never think, she couldn't possibly fathom that a king would sin in such a way. And therefore, she didn't think that she needed to lie to him. But Paro lo hishkiach ba. Paro said, no. I'm going to listen to the first thing that was said, that you told everybody else that you're the sister. Al kein nego Hashem. That's why Hashem brought the negoim. Al devar Sarai Eshes Avram. It was about the words of Sarah that she was Eshes Avram. That's why it repeats Eshes Avram, because it was those words that Sarah said that Paro was trying to ignore. What was her dibur? Eshes Avram. She said that I am Eshes Avram, and to that Paro did not listen, and for that Paro was punished. An interesting approach. In general, when it comes to these stories in Bereishis, oftentimes you delve deeper into the Mefarshim, into these stories, you can uncover beautiful pshat and beautiful ideas and deeper meanings in the text than have been the way it appeared in the past. One last idea, also from the Kliyakar, is Perek Yedaled, Pasuk Yedaled. So the Palit comes and tells Avram about about Lot being taken. Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv. He hears that Lot has been taken prisoner. Vayarek es chanichav yudei veiso shmona asar shlosh meyos vayidof adam. So he gathers together his people. Shmona asar shlosh meyos, 318, and runs after them ad don. Rashi says, based on the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Rabbi Seinu Amro Eliezer Levado Haya. That he didn't take 318 along with him; he just took Eliezer. V'hu minyan gematria shel Shimon. 318 is the gematria of the name of Eliezer. So the Kliyakar quotes this approach from Rashi, And just ask a simple question. That's the normal way that the Torah tells us something, is that it hints to it by telling us the name of the person through the gematria. And then he says, and also later on it says, it sounds like there were other men who came along with him. And if it was just Eliezer, there are no other men. So he suggests, he says, no, Shagam Rashi Moda. Even Rashi agrees, they took along 318 men. Why? A person always has to be mishtadl. A person has to try within the realm of what's normal, within the realm of what's expected in a natural way. A person has to try as much as possible to do whatever is to whatever is proper. So he needs to do it also. Why did he take 318? Why does the pasuk have to tell us that? It's to show that Hashem should help him, Eliezer, that Keli Hashem, Ezer, should be a help to me. The simon or milson, the simon to that, the reason that he took that is kimispar Eliezer, like the number of Eliezer, like just like Eliezer is 318, that is the concept behind how we did it. But he suggests that no, it wasn't just Avram and Eliezer alone, but perhaps it was the others as well. And again, an interesting pshat on a Rashi, which is frequently quoted. Just to conclude with a trivia question: Lechacha is among a group of there are 10 sets of parshios in the Torah that share the same shorish. What are all sets of parshios in the Torah that share a common shorish? Best wishes for a warm and wonderful and inspiring Shabbos.